service, as we worship God, as we glorify His name, and also as we encourage one another. As always, I want to remind you that you have a responsibility to know the truth. You're accountable for the things that you believe in, the way that you live your life, and so you need to make sure that you study and make sure that your faith is based on God's Word. Since the beginning of the year, I've been considering God in our subject, in our topic. We are involved in a series regarding God. And up to this point, for the most part, we have looked at how the Bible plays a part in our understanding of God. And this morning, I made the point that learning is hard work. That we have to apply ourselves if we're going to learn and understand about God. We have intellectual capability that God has given us. We understand that from God comes knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. We are expected to learn, clearly taught in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through verse 14. And so, in our study tonight, we're going to look at not only the fact that we are to learn, but we are going to look at the keys to learning. If you would, turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 beginning. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If we're going to learn, then an intense desire is certainly helpful. I understand that there are times when we may not be particularly interested in something, when we may not really want to be there to learn, but it's necessary. And we know it's a real struggle in those situations, don't we? You know, most of us have subjects in school that we like at least, and others that maybe we cannot stand. And quite often when we get into one of those situations, we ask ourselves the question, how is this going to help me? When am I ever going to need this? You ask a math teacher, and they will quite often tell you that kids respond this way when they get really past the simple addition and subtraction and multiplication and division. How is this geometry, how is this algebra, how is this calculus going to help me in my life? I don't plan to be an engineer. I'm not going to do something where I really have to know these things. And even if I do, we have such great calculators and computers today that I can get all of this without really having to understand it or know it. How is it going to help me? But if you have a student who knows that he or she wants to be an engineer, and they understand how math is going to help them, they realize how it's going to help them achieve their goals in life, and they have that real desire for numbers. Now, I realize there may not be many people like that, but there are some who really are interested in numbers. It's so much easier in that kind of an environment, of a mindset, to go to class, to listen to the numbers, to learn the formulas, to learn all of the things that's needed in grasping math, an intense desire. Here in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Peter uses the picture, the analogy, if you will, of newborn infants and them desiring the sincere milk of the Word. If you ask any new mother, when their child is most unhappy and when their child is most likely to let you know that they are unhappy, at least one of the times is when they're hungry. You know, we're thankful that Jocelyn is with us now. They're home from the hospital. And I've asked both Daniel and Rebecca, does she ever cry? Because to be honest, I haven't heard her cry. And I said, oh yes. She cries. Well, when does she cry? When she's hungry. When she wants to be fed. And so we recognize that kind of intense desire for something, don't we? And that's the way we are to be for God's Word. To understand God's Word. Do we have that intense desire to learn more and more about God and our relationship with God and what we need to be doing to please God? Because if we do, we'll find the time. We'll find the opportunity to study. If we're going to learn, we need to give our utmost attention and focus. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commands with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Think about this for a moment. Making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. What he's talking about here is paying attention and focus. It's easy for us to get distracted. It's easy for our minds to wander. You know, one of the great culprits in us not grasping information is that when we're sitting down and we're reading and we're trying to figure out everything, if our mind begins to wander, how well does a student do in class if they get to class and maybe it's not something of great interest to them, they don't have that intense desire, what do? They begin to daydream. They begin to wonder. They begin to think about things that will take their mind away from what's going on in class. And so they're not focused. No wonder a child has problems with math or with grammar or any of these various subjects if when they get there, their mind goes somewhere else. They lose focus. And so we need to make our ear attentive to wisdom. We need to incline our heart to understanding. We need to seek after it. If we do that, he says, then will you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. But if we don't have that kind of focus and attention, then our knowledge and understanding of God is going to be lacking. We need to give it our best effort. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 3, Peter said, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And so this is what God's Word offers us. This is why we should have that intense desire. This is why it deserves our utmost attention and our best effort. Because knowledge of God's will is what brings us into a relationship with Him. It allows us to become partakers of the divine nature. And to escape the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. It is what allows us to mature and grow to a point where we are stronger and better capable of overcoming temptation. When we are weak, when we are giving other things our attention, then it's not difficult for Satan to win, is it? But I want you to notice what else he says. For this very reason, in other words, for the things that he just mentioned, for what God offers to us through knowledge, For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. And he goes on down through a list of things. But you'll notice, he says, you need to make every effort. The King James says, give all diligence. The word here is defined as earnestness. Earnestness in accomplishing, promoting, or striving after anything. To give all diligence, interest oneself most earnestly. And so again, the idea that we have here is that you are giving it your best effort. You are applying yourself to this end. And you realize that learning is a process. It's not something that you can complete ever in life. You know, we often talk about the fact that learning God's Word is an ongoing process, and that a person who's been in the church for 50 years and has actively studied and applied himself or herself, that this person will continue to learn. But the same is true, really, with other subjects as well. There's always new information, new knowledge on the horizon. And we build upon the things that we've learned before. We build upon the truths that have been established. And so we understand that it is a process. That's exactly the way it is with God's Word as well. In Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 9, the prophet said, to whom will he teach knowledge? And to whom will he explain the message? Those who are weaned from milk, those who are taken from the breast. And so he's talking about this process, isn't he? Listen to what else he says. For it is precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. I understand that in this context, that the point has to do with God's people. They were not faithful. They were not remembering God and learning about God. And so the point here, again, has to do with a process of learning. It's a little at a time. Here a little, there a little. It's precept upon precept, precept upon precept. In other words, there is a redundancy to it. We are reminded of it constantly in this process. And wherever you are in your life right now, in your knowledge and your understanding of God's Word, you can grow. You can learn more. If you are the babe in Christ, either because of just time and the limits of time and the fact that you've not been a Christian very long, or maybe you've wasted time and you've been a Christian for many years, but you've not used that. Whatever the case, you can grow, but you do it precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. We need to learn to distinguish, to discern between truth and error. How wasteful is it for us to apply ourselves to learning something and find out it's wrong, to find out the information is not the truth? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 beginning, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. He's talking here about those positions or offices, if you will, in the Lord's church. And by the way, these at this time were men who had miraculous gifts. They had the miraculous gift of prophecy, of knowledge, of tongues, and those kinds of things. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so clearly he's saying that these things have been given, that you might grow up, that you might know God, the Son of God, that you might mature to manhood in this knowledge. But now listen to what else he says in verse 14. So that we may no more be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. In other words, these have been given the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. These have been given so that you can grow up and not be tossed. So that you can grow up to discern between truth and error. Clearly, this was one of the great concerns in the early church. We are warned time and again by inspiration that there are false teachers, false prophets out there, and we are to test them. We are to examine them that we might be able to discern between truth and error. You know, there are people who have great knowledge in their particular faith. It may be a knowledge in what their church teaches them. And they can, some, not only quote scripture, but they can tell you exactly what their church, what their faith teaches about that scripture. And so they have this great knowledge. They have a desire to learn. But the problem is, they've allowed themselves to be deceived by error rather than God's word. We need to be careful how we walk if we're going to learn. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And this idea of walking just has to do with manner of life. It has to do with your lifestyle, the things that you choose. Listen to what he says. Making the best use of the time. There's that idea of process again, right? You've got to use your time. Use it wisely. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so, as we go through life, the course of life, as we make our decisions, we need to make sure that our walk is being directed by God's will. We need to make sure that we're not doing the foolish things that so many do in their lives. We need to make sure that we do not allow the devices of Satan, the lust and the desires of this world to overtake us. We need to understand what the will of the Lord is. It's understandable. It's discernible. How sad it is when those who claim to be Christians begin to suggest that the Bible is just not really understandable. Or when they begin to minimize God's Word. If you want to learn, be careful how you walk. Make sure that you are walking in the right path. And then finally, if you want to learn, store up God's Word. Psalms 119, if you please. Verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? Good question, isn't it? How can any of us keep our lives, our choices pure? He gives the answer. By guarding it according to your word. And so, the life that we live, the way that we travel, he says you can keep it pure if you guard it by the word of God. So this is what he says in verse 10. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Does this sound like most of us today? Does this sound like most people today? First of all, the very idea that the writer's talking about things like law and commandments and those kinds of things. These are not well thought of. Oh, we can be religious, we can be a faith, we can attend some place, but the idea that there's a focus on law and commandments. But yet that is exactly what the psalmist said. If we are going to allow the Word of God to keep our way, to keep us pure, then we have to understand that there are do's and don'ts. We understand that there are commandments to be obeyed, to be understood. We need to store up the Word of God in our hearts. And that Word includes these commandments. God's direction for... There's nothing different about the time in which we live. If we want to keep our way pure, then we're going to do it by the Word of God. And understand, the Word of God includes do's and don'ts. The Word of God includes commandments. When God talks to us about moral issues, when He warns us that those who participate in these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, He means it. And if we want to be pure, then we're going to respect that. It also means that He has will with regard to worship. He has always had will with regard to worship. In the very beginning, when we look at Cain and Abel, one followed God's will, the other did not. When we look in that time period that's called the patriarchal age, there's not a lot said really about worshiping God, but the times where it does talk about worshiping God, there are certain things done. And we certainly know that a faith that is accepted by God is a faith that is directed by His Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so we need to store up God's Word in our hearts. That's the reason, at least in part, why we need to learn. My life needs to be pure. My way needs to be right. And the way it is if I follow God's Word. And so He says, "Blessed are You, O Lord, teach me Your statutes." There's that idea again, right and wrong. "With my lips I declare all the rules of Your mouth. In the way of Your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on Your precepts and fix my eyes on Your ways. I will delight in Your statutes and I will not forget Your Word." Is this the mindset that we have with regard to God's Word and God's will? Do we delight in these? Do we meditate upon these? Are these very much a part of our lives as we live day in and day out? Is God's Word there for us? Made mention this morning that it is fine and good to have a reading plan of God's Word. Nothing wrong with that. I would recommend that. It gives us a good broad understanding, but that's not all that there is to it. There has to be that time to delve into it, to get deep into God's Word, and to be able to put things together. We need to be able to put together what took place in Genesis with what took place in the rest of the Old Testament. We need to be able to put together those things with what happened in the life of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the church. We need to realize that this is more than just a good story. It's more than just an interesting read. This has to do with our eternity. It has to do with who we are and what God wants from us. And so we need to delve deeply into the Word and store it up in our hearts if we're going to learn from it. A casual, flippant consideration of God's Word does us no good. Are we that kind of student? If you're not a Christian, it is my hope and my prayer that this evening you will give consideration to your life, to your destiny, and understand that without Jesus, there is no hope. That you will come forward, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized. If as a child of God, you have maybe forgotten your purpose in life, you've forgotten to store up God's word in your life, that it direct your life and how you walk, I hope that you'll make that right and ask God's forgiveness. If you need to respond in some public way, do so.